in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16 will be our text this morning. We visited this text before. It's a classic passage on the sanctity of human life. And as you work your way there, I want to tell you, unless you have been on Mars, we are in a cultural war in America. And I got news for you, we're going to lose the cultural war, but we're going to heaven. Amen. The whole world will not be redeemed. Only his people will be saved out of the world. I think of the battle going on with biblical marriage today. We believe as Christians that marriage is between one man and one woman for a lifetime. We believe that it was instituted by none other than God himself. Now the world and the liberals, the lost, they believe, how many times have you heard on the news and people say, well, I have no problem whoever wants to get married to whoever they want to get married to, right? And look for it, it's coming. It's not going to be just two women and two men. Later it's going to be a woman and a horse or a man and his dog. You think that's stupid? It's going to happen. And then we see the culture war and environment. The liberals and the lost people believe that the environment is called nature, and that we are to keep it up because in another billions of years, we will not be here. We're going to destroy nature. Of course, as Christians, we believe in creation. God created everything that we see in 24-hour periods of 6 days. We believe it's his creation. We don't worship the creation, we worship the creator. And they worship nature. They're nature worshipers. And we believe, as Second Peter chapter 3 says, that man will not destroy the earth. God's going to destroy this earth by fire right after the millennium, before the great white throne judgment. So there's a difference there. And there's also a difference in climate change today. If you watch some of the hearings on TV about interviewing some of the candidates for the cabinet, that's one thing they've asked. Even people who are not even going to be concerned with the cabinet, with the environment, they ask them, do you believe in climate change? Well, they believe that everything's caused, the ice is melting and everything, and we have defiled our earth, and there is such a thing as, now the Weather Channel promotes this big time, okay? But we believe that God told us to be stewards of this earth. And when it runs its cycle and its course in 2 Peter chapter 3, it will not be here no more, okay? We are not green people. So there's a lot of differences there. There's a difference on Israel and the Palestinians. That's been made sharp this past few weeks. We believe God's people are the nation of Israel, and God will preserve them until they come into their kingdom. And any nation that comes against Israel, God's going to come against them. And so I told you before, after John Kerry and Obama did what they did and made the announcement that they made, it's not going to get any better for America until America turns back to Israel. But officially, America deserted Israel the other week. Now, they believe that the land belongs to the Palestinians. We believe the scriptures teach in three places in Genesis it belongs to the nation of Israel. And it's their land. And so, but nowhere is this difference in this culture any greater than the sanctity of human life. There are those out there that believe that what we call the baby in the mother's womb is nothing but a blob. It's not a human until it's born. And they defile their own conscience on that because they even with partial birth abortion, they kill the baby after it's born. And so we believe life is sacred. We believe that's what the Bible teaches us. And we start with the Bible. That is our source of authority. It's not what the president says, regardless of who the president is. It's not what Congress says. It's not what the Supreme Court says. It's not what Planned Parenthood. That's another question. All these cabinet members are being asked, do you believe in climate change and do you support Planned Parenthood? You know, and these are their litmus tests. These are the liberals' litmus test. I'm telling you, folks, and you know this, there is a world of difference between people like us and people like them, right? And this culture war is going to get worse till Jesus comes. We're not going to bring in the kingdom, Jesus is. but we see it in the sanctity of human life. Let's stand in honor of our text today in Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16, and let's read this text, and I want to share five major truths with you about the sanctity of human life. Let's begin in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Lowest parts of the earth there is figurative language for the mother's womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect or not fully formed. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Even before we were even conceived in our mother's womb, God had a book about our days and our boundaries, and he knows all about us. Father, I pray today that I believe that everybody here believes in the sanctity of human life, whether it's unborn, whether it's born, whether it's elderly. And we don't see that in the culture today. We don't see that same view for the unborn. We don't see that same view for life. We're taught, our children and our grandchildren are taught in liberal colleges that man is just a higher form of an animal. He has no more right to exist than any other animal. And we believe that we are the crown of your creation. We believe that we do have a purpose and a reason for being here. And Lord, their brains are being indoctrinated by liberal theology, where when they get to school, some liberal colleges, some 80% that were Christian, so-called Christian youth back at home in church, now have forsaken the faith. So Father, I pray for them. I pray today that just knowing that life is sacred is not enough. I pray that we would give. I pray that we would speak. And I pray we would even get involved in our local pregnancy center here in volunteer places of service in that unit on Crawford Street. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Number one, again, we're starting with the plumb line that all babies, they're babies, they're not fetuses. That's a medical term that the world used. They are babies at the moment of conception. So our plumb line is that any baby in the womb is a creation of God, okay? That's our plumb line. That will determine what we believe about everything else. Truth number one, human life is sacred because God is creator. We didn't wash up on an ocean. You know, by the way, where did the ocean come from? We weren't come from a frog or plasma, or, you know, we didn't come from a big bang, although there is going to be a big bang in 2 Timothy 3 when God destroys the earth. But God created life. Adam was created as a full-grown man. He spoke. He wasn't in a cave trying to make fire. Y'all listening to your pastor today? He was a full-grown man who could communicate with God and with Eve when she came on the scene, and with the animals. Man didn't have to grow into anything. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. That determines what we believe from what others believe. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God as creator is fundamental to the Christian faith. And we believe he created us, wants fellowship with us, and we need to submit to his authority in our life, to rule our lives. And so what they do, Romans chapter 1, they deny the creator so that they can live their lives any way they want to, thinking they are not going to be accountable to anybody, but one day they're going to be shocked when they stand before the great white throne judgment. So life is sacred because we were created. We did not evolve. We're not higher, little higher than the animals. We as man are set apart totally for the work of God in this world. We are capable of having a relationship with him, and we make moral choices. A pet can't make moral choices. I know some of you are pet lovers here, but I'm sorry. Your pet can't make moral choices. They make choices based on instinct. So we have a purpose and a meaning as the crown of God's creation, created in his image, capable of having relationship with him. Human life is sacred because God is creator. Secondly, Satan wants to usurp authority as creator. You know, Jesus came to save and to seek and to save and restore and renew life. Satan comes to steal, rob, and destroy. Abortion in the Old Testament is child sacrifice. We read it in Jeremiah 19, verse 4. Because thou hast forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents as babies. They have built also the places, high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no longer be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. The Old Testament burning of the children and sacrifices were none other than what we have today in modern life as abortion. God desires to give life. Satan wants to take life. Thirdly, the baby in the mother's womb is a human life. In the Old Testament, we see that God had plans for us, as we read one verse a while ago in the Psalm, had plans for us before we were even conceived or born. In Jeremiah 1:4, it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto all nations. This is Jeremiah speaking of his relationship with God before he was even conceived in his mother's womb. Boy, that'll mess up your theology, won't it? In Psalms 139, that theologian John Stott says this about the psalm that we just read. By the way, let me give you another outline for Psalms 139. Verses 1 through 6, God knows me. Verse 7 through 12, God is with me. In verses 13 through 8, God made me. That'll encourage you. But John Stott says about Psalms 139 that we read, he says the psalmist surveys his life in four stages, past, present, future, and before birth. In all four, as you read Psalms 139, he uses the word I. So the psalmist says whether he is in or out of the womb, he has personhood. I. The baby in the mother's womb is a person. You'll see up front here, Barbara's put it out. If you look in the bottom under the Lord's table, you'll see little feet of a 10-week-old baby, what they look like. So there's no difference between potential life and actual life. You hear them say that a lot. Well, it's potential life. No, it is life. Amen? The baby is a life. And in the New Testament, when we talk about the baby in the mother's womb as a human life, Paul was set apart from his mother's womb. Not only Jeremiah, but also Paul. In Galatians 1:15, Paul said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Whoa, what do you do with that? Even when he was in his womb, God called him, right? And in time, it was fulfilled. All right, y'all still with me? All right, y'all hang with me now. And so the baby, the human life, is not a blob or a tissue, okay? That's what they say today. It's a blob. It's a tissue. Well, I've never seen a blob kick. Have you? I've never been pregnant, but I've never seen a blob kick, right? My pastor friend Dustin Logan in Perry, Florida, found out the other day that they were going to have twins. And I asked his wife, Katie, I said, did you feel double kicking, you know? She said, no, I thought it was just one, you know? So it's interesting here that the baby is human life. Because if we go back to the Bible, which we believe, the word for babe or baby describes a preborn and the born. So whether it's in the womb or out of the womb, it's the same Greek word as a baby, okay? You see it of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 and 44, when he was in his mother's womb. You see, the same Greek word applied to Jesus when he was in, when he was out of his womb. What? They came to Bethlehem and found the babe. It's the same Greek word, whether it's in the womb or out of the womb. It's a baby. And then number four, abortion has consequences. Now, I'm not here to beat up on anybody that has had one, you know, but I want you to know that there's redemption and forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Amen? God can forgive you. God can forgive you. There are emotional and physical consequences. I am not an expert on this, but I've been to some things where I've heard people and women give testimonies. There are emotional and physical scars that almost can never be overcome. In the Old Testament, there was a severe punishment for anyone who takes an innocent's life that was protected by Old Testament law. Exodus 21, verse 22, listen to this. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband which lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge determines. And if any mischief follow, that means that they lost the baby, then if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, and foot for foot, burning for burning, and wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You see, the blood of innocence, you know, and I'm with you. I hope politically, economically, Trump turns this thing around. But America will never be returned around until we repent from killing 60 million babies, okay? The innocent blood of the innocents is crying out against America. Numbers 35, verse 33. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for the blood it defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which shall you inhabit wherein I dwell, for I am the Lord, I dwell among the children of Israel. And I don't mean to tell you this, the blood of all 60 million babies that have been killed since Roe versus Wade is crying out in a judgment against America. And then number five, God is in control of the hard questions. And I know some of you got some questions. What about this case? What about that case? But whatever it is, God's going to use it for his glory and for his and our good, right? Let's look at the hard cases just a moment. Remember our plumb line? All life in the womb is life created by God. Are y'all with me? Okay. Every baby in the womb is sacred as far as God is concerned. They're not holy yet, okay? But the sacredness of the sanctity of human life. We got to start with that plumb line because I'm going to share with you some hard cases that you're going to begin to waver on. Number one, what about the disabled child? We have the world today that looks, they can look, they can see what we couldn't see. When our children come along and they say, well, your child's going to have this and that, then I would advise you to abort. And a lot of them do. They don't see it like we see it, that God created every life. In fact, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, Moses began to make excuses about, I can't speak, I can't go to Pharaoh, I can't be the spokesman for the nation of Israel. God says, you know, yes, you can. I'll make arrangements for that. Now, with Aaron, I'll make arrangements for that. And so he begins to make excuses here. And God says, did not I create the deaf, the mute, the blind? Right? You see, we got to come to the understanding, folks, it's just not, we can't say, yes, I believe in the sanctity of human life unless there's something wrong with the baby. That's not Bible. It's life. God has given a special child to some special parents, right? But people abort because they don't want the inconvenience of taking care of that kind of child. We're starting with our plumb line. Is it life or is it not life? Right? Number two. Well, what about the child conceived by rape? The woman didn't want it. She was raped one night, jogging in the park. What about that? Well, you know, a plumb line. It's a life, right? I'll give you an instance in Deuteronomy 24:16. Children should not be put to death for the sins of their father. And then another hard case that comes up is, well, what about children conceived in incest and adultery? You know, what are we going to do with them? Well, I'm pro-life as long as it doesn't fall in one of these categories. No, you're not pro-life unless you believe it's life, right? Are y'all still with your pastor? What about the child conceived from incest or adultery? Well, we read in Genesis 38 the story of Judah and Tamar. There was incest going on there, but God turned it around for his good, right? And for our good and his glory, right? Plumb line, right? What's the plumb line, church? It's still life, right? There are no exceptions. Well, they say, well, what about the life of the mother? It might have been that way in years ago in pioneer days, but I'm telling you right now. And there may be some instances where there's a choice that has to be made. But the world today is making out that to be bigger than what it really is, right? And you hear this, it's my body, I have the right to choose. Well, I guess you can in your own little world. You can choose to murder, right? It's my body, I have the right to choose. But there's some problems with that. We do not have an unqualified right to our body. Our bodies belong to the Holy Spirit. God created life. He created the sanctity of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 again. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The baby in the womb is a separate life from the mother, right? If it's life, then it's a separate life from the mother, right? Some of you act like you're confused, okay? When you're carrying around your children, you are carrying around a life. Right? You even named that baby before you even, when you got married, you began to name your baby's names, right? You seen that commercial on TV where that woman's going to deliver a baby and some Ally commercial goes by a room there and she says, name him Tommy. She's on a stretcher going to deliver to her third, fourth child, I don't know. And she stops the guy carrying the stretcher and says, and tells the people in the room, the man and the wife, he says, name it Tommy. Name it, you know, that's what I named all of my babies. And she said, well, it's not going to be a boy, it's going to be a girl. And she said, well, I still named him Tommy, you know. It's kind of funny. So it's a life, right? We believe this, right? But don't waffle when you run across somebody out there that says, well, I believe it's a baby, but what about this situation? No, there are no what about this situation. The thumb line is it's a baby, right? It's life. So what do we do? A woman, and y'all have heard this before. I went on Rome on, what's that college in Rome? Who? Barry? Yeah. I went on their website to watch the eagle nest. How many of you done that? And you can watch the eagle nest. One is already hatched, and the other one, I don't know, maybe hatched by now because I quit watching. But a camera continuously on that eagle, you know? You know you could kill an eagle's egg, and boy, you ain't gonna see daylight, right? There's more uproar in our society about killing pets. You know, they get all upset because pets are being euthanized in the animal shelter, right? And I hope and pray that they're all adopted by somebody. But where is the upset, where is the anger when it comes to an abortion clinic? A woman can be on her way to an abortion clinic and be murdered. And I mean, this is the hypocrisy of it. And they'll charge the person with a double homicide. But she can be on the way to an abortion clinic and get there and do it freely. Something's wrong, ain't it? So it's not enough to say, yes, I'm pro-life, but we need to speak it. We need to volunteer. We need to go over on Crawford Street to the First Option Pregnancy Center and find out, what is it that I can do and volunteer, you know? I mean, 63 babies saved from abortion, folks, that's worth every money we gave them, right? So life is sacred. And it's about high time the church of the Lord Jesus Christ quits. We need to quit putting exceptions. It's life or it's not life. So I ask myself, why do they hate life so? Why do they hate life? You know why? Because their father, Satan, hates life. Right? Their father, Satan, hates life. Father, I pray this morning that you'll take these truths. I know it's sobering and I know it's sad and I know we don't want to talk about it, but Lord, we do need to talk about it. We need to educate our people on the right side of the culture war. And the right side is we believe you are creator, we are responsible to you, you are authority in our lives, and we submit to you to lead our lives as the way you see it. And also we see many who profess Christ, but they still lead their own life. Their decisions are based on still what they want to do, not what the Creator wants for their life. So help us to speak truth in a wayward culture. If we save one mother from having an abortion, Lord, we saved one that you died for, and we know, Father, that those that are murdered in the mother's womb instantly go to heaven. We know that. Father, Lord, help us to penetrate darkness and evil and speak truth. It is time, and it is high time, that the Church of Christ no longer remains silent. But we speak, yes, if we're ostracized, if we're made fun of, if we're called right-wing fascist bigots, it doesn't matter. What matters is we speak truth. There's one here today without Christ. Father, I pray today. See, there's nothing wrong with in this culture war and the way people think that can't be cured by coming to Christ. So I pray today. Everybody in this building is saved. Pray, Father, I hope and I pray. If not, today's the day to make it right. Maybe it's a transfer of a church membership and unite with us and where they can be taught the Word of God and give and take and spiritual gifts. Whatever it might be, we want to have the freedom to do that today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.